Hey, John.
Hey, Drew.
You ready to go?
I'm ready.
You got everything?
I've got everything here.
You got your helmet?
Check.
Elbow pads?
Check.
Wrist guard?
Absolutely.
Mouth guard?
Yes.
Okay. Do you got your knee pads? All right. Do you have your skateboard?
Cool.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
What? Did you ever play...
What?
Were you an extreme sportster?
Extreme. Well, no.
Never?
Not
you never
really.
Did anything?
Nah, you gotta... Nah. I wouldn't call myself an extreme...
Did you dabble?
I dabbled. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good qualifier. I was a dabbler in the extreme arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dabbled somewhat. Not much.
I did... I practiced maybe one of the varied extreme sports growing up, but and this was before there was such a thing as like extreme sports. You know,
really
nobody called them extreme sports then.
No.
When did that come along? I think it happened in the 90s when things got gritty.
Yeah,
and
well,
everybody
things got sort of fake gritty.
Right. When everything turned to black and white,
yeah.
And there was like lots of graffiti on stuff,
yeah,
that's when it became extreme.
I think when I was dabbling, it was they had come up with that label.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe they did.
I dabbled in the 90s. I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe you were.
I was an extreme
in that transitional period.
Yeah. What are the extreme sports?
I think your classic extreme sports are skateboarding.
That's the first one I think of.
Absolutely. Well, it's the only one that matters. Biking.
BMX biking.
BMX biking or motor biking.
Motocross. All right.
Motocross. I can't say.
Motocross.
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 Louisville.
Motocross.
Motocross.
Yeah.
Either that or I want to say Macross.
Macross?
Like the Robotech.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's a thing, isn't it?
It is a thing. Snowboarding.
Yeah.
Snowboarding.
Rollerblading. Skiing?
Probably.
I think
you could say.
Because it already existed, but then it kind of got pushed into it, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think all of these things existed before you had... that extreme sports moniker, but they sort of got pulled together. Here's my definition.
Is that
for
everything?
An extreme.
About surfing.
Yeah. Oh, surfing.
Does that count?
Yeah. I think surfing definitely counts.
What about?
There are probably other things too, like rock climbing, I think could be considered an extreme sport.
What about bodyboarding? The luge.
All right. I like that word, so I'm going to let it go. I'm going to include it, I guess.
What about...
Potentially. Well, except the luge doesn't fit within my my definition.
Wakeboarding.
That would work.
Scooter, the little razor scooters.
Oh, sure. The razors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about those wheel shoes? Wheelies.
Oh.
parkour.
No.
I think that might be the most recent addition.
I refuse to acknowledge that. I just can't. I can't acknowledge it. I mean, technically, yes, I guess it falls within the...
Freestyle walking.
...parameters. It is freestyle walking.
So you say parkour is a no.
I don't want to acknowledge it. I don't want to talk about it. Parkour is basically jumping over things.
You know, you're being really reductive.
Treating the planet as though it is your private obstacle course.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty jerky.
They do. They jump up and down. They do flips. They'll climb a wall. Mm-hmm. They'll climb a wall, then jump into a chasm. Just like that.
It's dumb.
It's not dumb.
It's also kind of a dumb name.
Well, like, it's French.
Yeah. Uh-huh. if they called it something like Concrete Attack,
come on,
I would be totally in with it.
Freestyle Walking.
Yeah.
So skateboarding. Well, wait, did we list them all?
I think we did.
We probably missed some. Skydiving?
Yeah, I'd call that. Here's my thing. Here's my thing with extreme sports.
Yeah, what's the thing?
If you do it,
yeah,
beyond the confines, a regular sport has to take place within certain parameters.
Okay.
Right. So, and you can change the dimensions or the scale of those, but they all have to happen within parameters. So, like baseball, you have to have a diamond. You have to have it doesn't have to be a diamond, but you have to have bases. You have to have a defined playing area.
Structured.
Right. Right.
Very structured.
Basketball, same thing. You can have the longest basketball court in the world, but you still have to have, you know,
hoops at either end.
Hoops, yeah. But extreme sports, what I think distinguishes them is that you don't have that confine. You can do them wherever the terrain will allow you to do it.
Fishing.
Yeah, I guess you could call that an extreme sport.
If it's a sport.
Yeah.
I think that's a broader question. No offense to fishermen out there, but I just don't know
I don't know that it would traditionally fall into the extreme category. I don't know that people would agree with me on that, but I think by the definition I've laid out, it's technically an extreme
shark
sport.
Fishing.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
Yes.
All right.
So skateboarding, where it all began. Probably not, but
well, I think that's where people started to come up with a label for extreme sports, right?
Yeah.
Because that was the extreme sports. What do you think that maybe, well, unless surfing. I'm trying to think which of those two would have been the one that kind of.
Surfing predates skateboarding, for sure.
Skateboarding kind of took hold of people's attention, you know, in a way.
Yeah,
that made it really prominent and sort of forced this categorization.
I think you could skateboard anywhere, whereas you had to have waves in order to surf.
Yeah.
So
skateboarding
proliferated.
Right.
Where surfing was sort of like, well, it's going to happen here, and these are the only places that it can happen.
Right.
So skateboarding. When did you start skating?
I never skateboarded.
Really?
I mean, I owned skateboards. I owned quite a few skateboards in my time. But I was never, I think maybe I tried once or twice to actually do skateboarding apart from just skating. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like actually trying to do tricks and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I dabbled in a different extreme sport.
Oh.
Which I'll get to when we talk about it.
Okay.
But I did own a Back to the Future skateboard.
Nice.
It started off as a scooter. Like, it had a skateboard with handles.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then what did you just took?
I removed the handles. I was like, now it's a skateboard.
Did you do that just because that's the way it was done in the movie?
Yeah.
Nice.
I also removed the wheels at one point, and it was a hoverboard.
Oh, of course. Did you slap magnets on there, too?
Yeah, I did try that. It didn't work. I actually magnets on it because I thought, for some reason, I thought that my basement, not my basement, the garage, like the floor, I was like,
oh, sure.
That probably has like metal in it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I was convinced this was going to work.
That damn special. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Robert Zemeckis, the biggest. Yeah. Have we talked about this? Have I complained about this? Okay, I won't go into it again. The hoverboard fiasco.
Where he's like, oh, we got this advance.
Yeah, hoverboards have been around in Japan for years, but PTA groups won't allow them in the United States because they're worried that kids will hurt themselves. Complete lie.
He probably made more kids hurt themselves trying to replicate
Yeah, like you.
Hoverboards, yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of kids thinking, I can just put some magnets on this board.
I did. I taped magnets on the bottom of the board, and I brought it downstairs and into the garage, and I thought for sure this was going to work. And of course, it didn't.
You just threw it on the ground, and it just sat there.
Yeah. And it's kind of a... It's an immediate, like, fail, you know, where you're like,
yeah, there's
like,
no,
I don't know, like, what do I try? Like, is there, maybe I'm doing something wrong? Like, what? I'm not sure where to go from here.
That was awesome.
I also had a Ninja Turtles skateboard.
Okay.
And then I think eventually got like a regular, you know, not branded by any popular cartoon or movie skateboard.
So you didn't ride these, you just had them?
I could ride them, but I couldn't do any tricks.
Okay.
And I tried it, you know, I tried to learn how to do a kickflip, but I could never, or even an ollie.
Yeah.
I couldn't do them. I was too scared. I was too scared that I would fall.
Ah.
Yeah. I didn't have the guts.
Did you use it for transportation? Like, did you ever just ride around over somebody's
my
house
neighborhood.
Or anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to count that.
All right. Thanks. That's generous of you.
That's majority of what I did, yeah. So I'm going to count it.
Well, so, and I was, how old was I? I mean, I guess I would have been probably 11 to 13 years old, maybe.
Hmm.
How old were you when you were shredding?
I was about 8, I think, when I started.
Whoa, you started young.
Well, there was this wave and when skateboarding got popular.
Yeah.
87 or 88, I think, is when it like, or when I started perceiving it as being popular. Mm-hmm. And not popular, but like
cool.
popularly not popular.
Yeah.
You know.
It was like, cool.
Late '80s, yeah. So that's when I started. And that was when like I first there was the first skateboard store skate shop that I knew of existed. And so it made me realize like, oh, okay, this is a thing, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how. And I started reading Thrasher magazine around then. Yeah. Reading quote unquote Thrasher magazine at that point. Which I think even today, Thrasher has like about 4 words per issue, and the rest of it's just pictures of people skating.
I'm surprised it's still around.
It is incredible that magazine has lasted as long as it has.
Wow. And it's still in print form?
Yeah.
Man.
It's crazy.
I used to love skate shops.
Yeah. Oh, what a great place to hang out.
They were... I just loved all the stuff they had. And I loved like the art on the bottom of, you know, skateboard decks.
Yeah, every piece, I mean, apart from the trucks, I guess, the braces that hold the wheels on, you know, every piece of the board or, you know, every facet of skating had like this really distinct art aesthetic to it. So yeah, the board surface, you know, people would put art on, and then on top of that, they would put stickers or, you know, scratch something into it.
The wheels
always had logos or artwork.
Some people
on
even had grip tape that was
They were different colors or spray paint stuff under there. Like I used to know people would put like tape over that, like with their name on it or with their initials or something like that. We're gonna fight, we're gonna win, we're making skate a fucking threat again. We're on the prowl for something cool. We're gonna shred your engine swimming pool. We're doing sloppies at the Circle K, and I didn't only boil us on my walk, but that's a JFA. Don't be a pussy, there's no need to cry, so shut up and get wrecked, cause now it's time to skate or die. Yeah, you don't need to know the reason why, just shut up and get wrecked, cause now it's time to skate or die. I mean, yeah, helmets.
There's a...
I hated the helmet thing. I never wanted to wear the helmet.
I thought and still think that the helmet, like the skateboarding helmet, looks cool.
Hmm.
Not, you know how there are bike helmets.
Right, that are a little more aerodynamic.
They look goofy. Like, they don't even look like they're... When people wear them, it doesn't look like they're wearing them right. You know?
Right, yeah. The contours are a little bit off.
Yeah, it looks like it's tilted wrong or something. But
what about the ones with the pointy... The pointy back?
Yeah, exactly. But the skateboard helmets, you know, it was just basically like a, you know, just a sphere that had a cut, mm-hmm. you know, been cut into so you could put it on someone's head.
Yeah.
That's what I liked.
It was like a big bowl
yeah.
on your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Insulated bowl.
I thought that looked cool.
I never liked that. I liked wearing knee pads and elbow pads. I thought I was a badass wearing knee pads and elbow pads.
Yes.
You know, and then later...
wrist guards.
I never wore wrist guards, but I would wear like the
sweatbands.
Elastic. Yeah. Yeah, sweatbands. Yeah, I would put those on there under on the auspice of safety, you know, right? Like it's totally...
safety.
Yeah.
I had wrist guards, but that was for my other sport. And I dabbled in.
Well, let's hear it.
I think it was. Was it? I had wrist guards.
Okay.
Maybe it was for skating. That might have been for skating. Because it was more likely that I would fall forward.
Onto your wrists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were cool.
See, I don't remember those even being around when I started skating.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they weren't. But they had this, like, you know, you put the wrist guard on, and at the wrist itself, it had this piece of metal. That sort of like came out at a point in a way, away from your wrist.
Oh, okay.
So that if you hit the ground, it would essentially bounce off of, you know, you wouldn't damage your wrists.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
What's
your sport though? What were you wearing them for?
I did, I had a bike, BMX bike, and I owned, I'm surprised I didn't bring this up when we talked about BMX Bandits.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how old I was, but at one point, a bunch of my friends were getting these bicycles that were like really, they were the bicycles to get. They were, that was the company was called Dyno, I think,
mm-hmm.
D-Y-N-O.
Mm.
And they had like various models of their bicycles, you know, and... There was like the Dyno GT and the GT something and the Dyno something else. And I was like, oh, I've got to have one of these. Mom, I got to have this. I got to have a Dyno and I can learn to do tricks. And they got me one eventually. And it was, I remember my friend Tony, who lived down the street from me, he had one too. And his was like a better version, like a better model.
Hmm.
And like, I think his was made of chrome, whereas mine was painted chrome or something. And he had like pegs on his wheels and I didn't. But that was the one that I actually put effort into. Like I tried to learn tricks like bunny hops and I could do an endo, which is essentially a front wheelie. Of sorts.
Wow.
You couldn't, like, you didn't ride on it. You just hit the brakes and you pulled the back wheel up.
Okay.
And balanced on the front wheel.
Huh.
I could do that. I could never do a wheelie. Isn't that sad? Like, that's like the one everyone should, you know, probably the. But yeah, I actually put time and effort into learning how to do tricks on that. And I had quite a few spills. Doing
serious
that.
Spills?
May I guess not. I mean, serious ones may have deterred me from continuing. But I mean, I can remember trying to do endos and I would fall over the front of the bike.
Oof. Yeah. Because
you have to get going fast enough to pull the back wheel up, but you go too fast, you're just going to flip over.
Sure.
And so that happened to me a couple of times where I just went right over the front.
Ouch. But no serious damage?
No.
That's good.
Nope.
That's good.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was the first bike I had where the pedals, you could like rotate them backwards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
do
not,
that.
Yeah.
Sound.
I used to do that. But I couldn't do my sweet. I was really proud of this way of like braking my bike, like hitting the brakes on my old bike that had, if you press back on the pedals, it braked.
Yeah.
You know? Those were the brakes. And so you do these swerving stops, you know, you'd hit the brakes and then you'd like turn the bike as you're braking.
Kind of fishtail like Rudy in Monster Squad.
Yeah, yeah,
he pulls
yeah.
up at the beginning yeah. and he's like, eat your candy bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I couldn't do that on the new bike because it didn't have brakes like that. It had, you know, hand brakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I don't think I ever...
diminishes your your badass stops a little bit. He just sort of come to a stop. He just sort of slowly reduce speed until you stop. I had a couple really nasty spills on the skateboard, but it was like... I remember my mom was always really concerned about like ramps and tricks and stuff, like that being the big problem. And I had a friend of mine, this all sort of happened at the same time. So skateboarding starts getting popular and a couple of kids in my neighborhood started getting into skateboarding. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know them very well, but like I knew them enough to be like, hey, can I hang out with you guys?
Right.
And they actually built a ramp in one of their backyards and like it was maybe like 4 feet off the ground, like at its highest point, you know.
Still, that's high.
But it's, it was just, and I was not even 4 feet tall, probably. So this was a big deal. I've never had any problems with that ramp. Okay. Nobody ever got hurt on that ramp, as far as I know. But one night, we were hanging out at another kid's house, and he happened to have this really steep driveway. From the street to the top of the driveway was probably like 25, 30 feet.
Okay.
And it was at an angle of about, I don't know, like, what is that? What am I doing
like
right
45 now? 45 degrees?
45, maybe a little bit steeper
than steeper.
That. Yeah.
That's steep.
Something like
that's
that.
Really steep.
It was a steep driveway. And somebody decided it'd be fun to go down that on a board.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it would. Which is great until I get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Like, because it
bottoms out.
Picked up like impressive speed without really even trying. You're just going straight down almost. And then there was like a little nub in the sidewalk, you know, like a little excess concrete or something that had gotten lost, left there and dried out. And I didn't really know about it. And I hit it and just went off there, and like everything was scraped up. Both of my palms were completely scraped up. I don't know how I did this. So the bottoms of my hands, my palms got scraped up. So did my knuckles.
Oh wow!
Like both sets of knuckles got scraped up.
Huh.
Elbows and forearms were completely scraped up. Knees were completely scraped up. I had something like on the back of my shoulder that was a little bit bruised, and so like I think. Any one of those, I would have been like, look at this awesome scab.
But all of them.
But the combination of all of them, I walk home and I'm just like covered in blood. And
oh, man.
Yeah.
You had a serious wipeout there.
It was pretty, pretty bad.
That's
fortunately,
cool.
It was like, though, it was like everybody was hanging out there and everybody, I think, sort of respected it. You know, it was like, this is a respectable wipeout.
Yeah.
Another really bad one that I had was not so respectable.
All right.
When I was coming, I was riding down another street, I don't know, a couple of blocks away from my house. And I came around a corner and I'm doing fine. I'm just sort of casually riding, you know, I'm not trying to do anything fancy. But there's a part where there's kind of a dip in the street, and so you pick up speed, you know, pretty quickly. And there's a group of kids that I didn't really know over to the side of the road, you know, like 200 yards ahead.
Okay.
And I see them, and they see me, and I see them see me. And as I'm about midway down this hill, something happens. I don't know if, like, I hit something or if my confidence just faltered, but I can feel the board just suddenly start wobbling back and forth, side to side. And then I can feel the rest of me like wobbling back and forth. I was like one of those wispy air guys at the used car dealer, you know? Yeah. And my hands go up in the air and all of a sudden I go, bam! And just completely topple off the board. The board keeps going. So now on top of the fact that I've spilled over and like slammed my face into the grass, I now have to get up immediately and run after the board to stop it from going somewhere.
Wow.
And I get up there and I pick it up and I'm like, I don't know, cussing, you know, probably like crazy to try to regain some sort of like credibility.
Oh, he's cussing. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's not a loser.
He's all right. He's good. Yeah.
He's cool. He's cussing. Look at him.
Yeah.
He knows that was dumb. So my neighborhood had a really big hill in it. I got nervous just riding my bike down it.
Yeah.
Like full speed. And a couple of times I tried to go down it on a skateboard. And whenever I would try something like this, I always had the same maneuver where it would get to a certain speed where I would be like, I'm going to die. This is so fast.
Yeah.
And I'm not in control. And I would essentially run it off of the skateboard. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where you just sort of
I'd step
trot
off and then
off
run.
The side. Yeah, yeah.
And then my board would just go on without me. Be like, you're fine on your own.
You're like sidecarring. Yeah. Yeah.
You take care of the rest. I'm going to watch. I couldn't do it. I just never had the guts. It's so alarming to be going that fast.
Yeah. Well, you don't have anything around you, you know?
It's yeah, just yeah.
Air whizzing
and plus,
by.
In my neighborhood, like this hill, on one side, it was sidewalk all the way down until you got to where it came back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you could get to the bottom and you'd probably slow down as you ascended the next hill.
Sure.
But on the other side, there was sidewalk and then there was a street and then more sidewalk. So the road turned off there. And so potentially there could be a car coming. So you couldn't go down that side, or at least I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And the other side, there were people just tended to park their cars across the sidewalk more often.
Oh.
And so you're kind of forced to use the side with the street. And there was no way. You know?
I'm out.
But there was, I remember this sort of has nothing to do with anything, but at the bottom of the other side where, you know, there was no street,
mm-hmm.
it was just sidewalk, or I should say you'd come to the bottom of the hill and then you'd come up on the next hill.
Yeah.
And at the top of that, which was a smaller hill, the sidewalk did this weird incline where like it was a steady incline, you know, going up. And then suddenly the steepness of the incline increased. So there was this little ramp.
Oh.
And I always wondered if you hit that fast enough, would you
catch
air?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you probably would have, especially on a bike, because you could maximize your speed there.
Acceleration.
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't have the guts for skateboarding, but I loved like the culture around it. And I loved, you know, I would go into skate shops at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
With no intention of buying anything, but just looking. I just like to look at
just
everything.
Just wander around.
I couldn't even bring, like, I wouldn't even buy a shirt because I was like, I don't skate. I would look like a loser. Someone will question me, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you skate? No, I just like this shirt.
Man, God, I remember, like, for a while, like, my entire wardrobe was all, like, skateboard shirts.
Yeah.
Skate companies Etnies. And stuff. I don't know if I ever had any Etnies.
Vans,
Birdhouse, which was Tony Hawk's company, Arcade, Zero was a big one.
What was the one with that looked like it had a tree in the logo? Do you know what I'm talking about?
A tree in the logo.
There was Hurley.
Hurley
that was sort of surf.
Yeah.
But skaters.
But
wore
they were
kind
of yeah. There was a lot of crossover there. Yeah. The early ones, like when I first started, like the big ones were Vision and Santa Cruz and Palo Peralta, which is sort of like the one that made skateboarding kind of mainstream in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, they had the famous the Bones Brigade, which reminds me, there's a great documentary on the Bones Brigade.
All right,
which was like the first team, the first like really popular skate team, you know,
okay,
of that era. But they had this awesome logo of this skeleton.
Nice.
Like he had ripped a hole in the surface of whatever this image was on.
Yeah.
And he was peering out. Like he
excellent.
Had the, we'll put a picture in the notes. Such a great iconic image. And there were so many of those in that era. But yeah, you're right. It was always like, I never quite felt like I belonged in that scene.
I certainly didn't.
You know, like I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt like I could put up a reasonable front,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just the fact that nobody else that I was hanging around with was really wearing, or, and nobody I went to school with was really into that culture. Right. I felt like just my tangential relationship to it was enough to like position me in that camp, you know? Lost in a sea of combat boots. Flesh of bastards and wasted youth. We need more grass because those things. When did the sea become a joke? The kids who used to live for beer and speed. I want their fries and coke. Cursing and birds are not allowed. In fact, there's key noise levels down. Must separate the church and state. Why don't we put
that... I did rollerblade. I own rollerblades.
Huh.
But... I used, well, that's not true. I was going to say I used them mostly to play hockey because my, in my neighborhood, we went through all these phases, right? They were mainly led by my friend Tony. Like whatever he was into, that's sort of what we did. And he liked sports a lot. So for a while it was football. And then eventually he got into hockey. And so we would play hockey out on the what do you call it,
the cul-de-sac,
the street street hockey, you know, so we did that for a few
in
months.
Rollerblades,
yeah. Rollerblades, and so that's probably why I got rollerblades in the first place. Although I can remember being sort of upset that I didn't have hockey rollerblades. I had, you know, regular like rollerblades.
Oh, they were like actual like hockey specific
rollerblades. Yeah, they were lace up, you know, just like the hockey skates.
You'd okay,
lace
sure.
Them up. The rollerblades had laces,
okay.
Whereas hockey or regular rollerblades, these plastic like clasps.
Yeah,
you know,
man, and those would never like I never felt like I had those on tight enough.
And my feet, I could never get a pair that didn't kill my feet.
Yeah,
by the, you know, time I was done skating,
like, yeah,
it was awful. But that was a sport where I felt sort of in control of what I was doing. But again, no tricks attempted. Just skating. All I did was skate.
Just skating. It's pure. Just skating. So were you ever tempted to try any of the other?
Well, I didn't have any access to oceans, so I couldn't surf.
Yeah.
What are the other ones?
Snowboarding.
No, I never. You know, I always wanted to. In high school, I knew plenty of people who would go to Hidden Valley. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yes.
Where they would, you know, they created fake snow or whatever.
Yeah.
You could go snowboarding. I remember that people would go and there was like, you could go from like 12 midnight until,
oh yeah,
like
those
6 a.m.
late night,
or something.
Yeah.
Like they were open for that period of time. And I think maybe it was a discounted entry or whatever. So I knew people would do that all the time. And I always thought it sounded like a lot of fun. And I thought, I would watch snowboarding and be like, I feel like I could do this. Like, I feel like this could be the one that I would be able to do because it's attached to your feet. It's not going to go anywhere. I probably would have been terrible. But I never, well, maybe, I think there may have been one instance where I knew someone who had a snowboard and I got to try it out. But yeah, never.
Yeah, I would never even know like where to start with that.
Yeah.
I did go to Hidden Valley one time for skiing.
Okay.
Like on a school trip, you know?
Yeah.
And it was disastrous.
Yeah.
Like horribly disastrous. Like the thing with the boots, you know, like the skis, like you would get these boots that you hook onto the actual skis. Right. And the boots were like killing my feet.
Yeah.
And then I finally hook up the skis to them and then I can't maneuver. I can't walk or anything.
Yeah.
And they didn't have like a traditional lift. I think they did for like maybe the bigger hills, but for like the beginner hill, they just had this rope. You just hang on to this rope and it's supposed to take you up to the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, how does this work? I can't. This no.
What do you mean? What?
Well, like it's a moving rope, right? Yeah, and you're just supposed to grab onto and it, and then it pulls it'll just you pull up, you along. Slide up. Yeah. Which I mean, for somebody who's has absolutely no coordination, like you pull onto it, and then like you know, my one leg goes this way and the other leg goes that way, and pretty soon I'm like scraping my crotch across the snow. So it did not work. I got maybe 30 feet up the hill, and yeah. then I was just like, okay, well, this is a good start. And then I turned around and like tried to ski down.
This is a good start. Oh wow!
So I made like one trip down the hill, and it was like this sort of half-hearted, like I mean, like I pictured myself like puttering, like you know, like when the Jetsons car runs out of steam or whatever.
That's
I pictured myself doing that as I come down this hill. And then it was like, I'm going
to
go.
I sort of imagine you coming to a slow stop and then falling over.
Yeah. So after that, I just took the skis off, returned them.
Yeah.
And just stayed inside by the vending machines and the Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Oh, man. I remember once we went to visit my cousins in Detroit. And it was winter, and they were like, we can go skiing while you're out here. I was like, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to try it, you know, because it looks like fun. You go really fast down a hill. What I learned when we got there is we were going cross-country skiing.
What does that mean?
It's like, you just...
What does that mean?
I'll tell you what that means. What that means is you're not going down any hills. You're literally... You put skis on, and then you like push yourself.
You like hike?
Yes. It's terrible. It's terrible.
It sounds dumb.
And I remember we finally like we came upon like a little hill, and my memory is that like my uncle tried going down it, you know, and then I wanted to, but they wouldn't let me. I was like, this is the. What's the point?
This is the skiing part.
I could be walking. This is more effort than walking.
Yeah, because you got those skis on you.
You're pushing yourself with the rods.
With the sticks?
Yeah, the sticks.
See, I didn't even get the sticks when I did.
What?
No, yeah. They were like, well, you don't use those unless you do the big hill.
So you were just...
I was literally just standing there descending on a hill on skis with like no...
Oh, your hands doing?
Hands are just like, you know, at the sides.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, like I got more like exercise and workout or, you know, motion out of like roller skating on a rink.
This is the best mental image. You on skis. Your hands are just down at your sides. You're like leaning forward.
Yeah. I'm like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I'm just riding skis.
But you're not going fast.
No,
you're like
no.
Descending really slowly. Oh, that's amazing. There's a lot of concepts about skiing that, maybe not a lot, a few concepts that really scare me. That the rope thing that you talk about, like I could see where like
it's not such helpful. An absurd concept.
But
why would anybody do that?
The ski lift. I don't know how anyone does that. I'd be so afraid of falling off that thing. There's no like seatbelt.
Yeah, no, you just
from what I can
you got
tell.
Like a tiny little ledge. And I feel like they purposefully made the seat as like thin as possible. So,
and then
like
it's like a timing thing to get on it, right?
Yeah.
Because they're always moving.
Otherwise it's just gonna like bang into you and knock you over.
And little kids get on this thing.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I've heard about like ski lift accidents where people got like caught in the lift and then it, you know, picked them up and they got choked in the gears or something. I mean, maybe I'm making that up, but it probably happened somewhere.
Yeah, I think it did. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. I always wanted to do snowboarding. I think it'd be cool to do.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun. Yeah. I can remember watching MTV and they had, you know, they did a whole like extreme sports. There was a show.
Oh, really?
With Dave.
Dave Bellamy?
No, that's Bill Bellamy. He was Bill Bellamy's sort of counterpart. He was sort of like the white Dave. Bill Bellamy in a way.
I don't know.
He was a sports guy. Dan?
Was he on the like the Rock and Jock things?
Yeah. Dan Calhoun or something like that.
No recollection. I'll look him up.
He would do, I think he hosted an extreme sports show where they'd show, you know, skaters and snowboarders and what have you, and they'd play music over it. And this may or may not have been that show, but I can remember watching a thing on there in particular that was all snowboarding. And it was basically this crew of like four or five people who went out and had like a snowboard retreat, you know, okay. like they kind of went out and camped, and they'd snowboard all day and then they'd camp and so on.
Sure.
And it looked like so much fun. Like they were like, the snow makes it seem like it's incredibly safe.
Yeah.
You know, like if you fall, no big deal. It's snow.
Oh, sure.
Which I'm sure is not the case. But they were out in the mountains and stuff. And they would like go down a mountain and then they'd snowboard up like a tree that was sort of leaning over because of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
So it had snow on top of it. And they could basically use it as a ramp.
Nice.
I'm like, this looks like the most fun thing ever. And they talked about how awesome the powder was, quote unquote. That's the snow, you know.
Oh.
And like how they could just like kind of cruise down. I mean, it just looked so much fun.
Yeah.
Like so much fun. But I'm sure there's like, it looks effortless, whereas I have to imagine it's not.
Yeah, I would think that if it were that easy, you know, everybody would do it. But
but it looks like, I think the fact that, you know, snow could cover anything made it seem like everything was snowboardable.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there were no boundaries.
Yeah. No boundaries. Extreme.
Yeah, that's extreme sports.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, akin to scream... Akin to extreme sports, there are a lot of video games.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be remiss if we didn't talk about Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
God. Thank you.
The maybe one of the best games ever. I mean, that, and not necessarily any one of the, like the whole series, I would say, as a whole.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe the best one was the third one. Because, you know, the first one was amazing, obviously, because there was nothing like it prior to that. You had games like Skate or Die on Nintendo.
Right. Oh, yeah. Speaking of being remiss, we got to talk about Skate or Die, which is like maybe the only legitimate use of the word aggro.
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe until the crag, until Dick Cheney found the crag.
The crag. The aggro crag.
The aggro crag.
Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Dick Cheney?
In that story we made up about
how
the...
Was it Dick Cheney?
I thought it was Dick Cheney.
Okay.
Yeah, like
fair
Sir
enough.
Dick Cheney or something.
What? He's a knight now? I thought Mike O'Malley... Well, no, Nintendo. Nickelodeon, they built their studio...
Around
the crag.
Yeah.
And...
And Dick Cheney was like the crag lord or something, wasn't he?
Maybe he was. But the whole thing was no one's allowed near the crag, but Mike O'Malley took his chances. And I think, oh, no, Mo was born of the crag. Okay, anyway.
Skate or Die was awesome.
It was so hard.
Yeah, it was. It was really hard.
I would rent that all the time. All the time. Skate or Die. I was no good at it.
It was unique too, in that it wasn't like a linear story anything, or you know, like a baseball game where you start playing baseball. You know, like you had a choice. Like you could go to any of these different
and it
functions.
Wasn't just. I don't think it was just skating either, was it? I feel like there was.
There was Joust, which was insane. Like you had a stick and you would ride in a pool with this other kid,
yeah,
and you would like try to hit him with the thing.
Oh
and,
man. And they made a
Downhill
Skate or Die
good.
Too.
Yeah, I don't remember that one being as good as the first one. But yeah, Tony Hawk.
Well, and you had some other games prior to Tony Hawk, and I can't really remember them.
Oh, there's 720. That was like an arcade game, and then.
Well, do you remember that the arcade game that had the skateboard? I'm trying to think of that.
Top Skater, wasn't it?
Did that predate? Yeah. Did that predate
Tony
Hawk?
I don't know if that, it was right around the same time, I think, maybe.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
Because they played like Pennywise and...
Yes.
I think Bad Religion.
Bad Religion.
And Offspring.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Crazy Taxi.
I get those two mixed up too. But
they definitely
I think
had
there was
Pennywise
Offspring in that game, I thought.
Yeah. And so that was a lot of fun. But anyway, Tony Hawk, all those games, I think, were great games in their own right. But Tony Hawk kind of like established what a skating game needed to do.
Yeah.
And they, you know, with each release, the next one built on the last one in ways that improved it. I think maybe after the fourth one is when it started to be kind of like diminishing returns.
Yeah, like there's only so much more you could do.
But you would get to like, you'd choose a level and then there were various missions. And depending on which one you're playing, the way that you choose those missions is different. Initially, it was just you had to choose a mission before you went into the level.
Yeah.
And that was what you had to attempt on that sort of run. And in later versions of the game, you could get them all, you know, everything was available at once.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like, it was the perfect mix of, you know, realistic, in quotes, skating, you know, like
real settings.
Yeah, real settings, real tricks, you know, like everything is based on in reality, but it goes a step further and, you know, it is beyond reality in that, you know, that you can chain all these tricks together and you get ridiculous amounts of air and, you know, grind for minutes at a time and stuff. And
you get to listen to Millen Collins.
I was just going
to
say, and like on top of that, you have this amazing soundtrack.
Yeah, that was a great, those, all three of them are all four of them, whatever. Yeah.
There was, I know that a lot of people primarily know the song Superman by Goldfinger because of the Tony Hawk game.
That was, it was the first one on the playlist, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was another one on there. There's a song on there called Amoeba, I think.
Yeah. But
which
Adolescence.
One is it? Which one is that? It's either, I think it might be two.
I think it's two, yeah.
But it comes on, it goes, Amoeba.
Yeah.
Amoeba. And my brother-in-law, Taz, he used to think that, or maybe he didn't think this, but he would always go, Tony Hawk.
We are scientists in our lab, looking through the microscope. The little glass sides, they never lie. How can this fall my code? I've never seen anything like it before. This amoeba's got a mind of its own. But don't turn your back to stupid science world. This is reaching for the telephone.
X Games.
The X Games.
Tony Hawk was a big influence over that too.
Yeah.
I think like he sort of helped those get popular, and I think they sort of helped him get popular.
Did you watch the X
big
Games?
Big thing. Yeah, I did. You know, like I remember it being not the first year, I think it was
Cortez. Dan Cortez.
Yes, I remember that now.
That's him. That's
the
MTV
guy. The MTV guy. Yeah.
Okay. Extreme Sports.
All right, X Games, first X Games, I don't remember being very big, but I remember the second one being huge, and that's when they started becoming a thing. And I would watch them, because they would show them during the day on ESPN, and it was usually in the summer, and it was right around the time, like I think I was in maybe like eighth grade or something when they first started doing them. So I was not, like I didn't have a summer job or anything, so I could watch them every day.
Yeah.
And you could follow them,
progression. So what were the events you had?
Skateboarding, they would do like
Half-pipe.
The vert, the vert challenge, and then the they would have like a course, like
street.
They would call it street. It was on like an obstacle course or whatever, but they would do that. There was a downhill, I think for. Well, I don't know if they did that first year, but I've seen them do. They have a downhill now, which is like it's basically like a jump, where they have this insane ramp and they ride down.
Skateboard?
And, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts. It's
really BMX, crazy. Right?
BMX. They would
and
do that.
Had
they would
vert and and street.
And street.
Did rollerblade? I think rollerblade must have made it in there eventually.
Yeah, I think it did too. I think those were the three core ones.
Yeah.
Like the initial ones. And then they did the Winter X Games.
Yep. Snowboarding.
Snowboarding, skiing. Is there maybe another?
You know, there is. I don't know if there was then, but there is like biking, snow biking.
Huh.
There really is.
Really,
I'm not making that up. I never watched the X Games like religiously, but if it was on, I would usually watch it.
Yeah,
you know,
it was frustrating because there was always a lot of commercials. I remember that, and I remember like I just they would bounce around, so they would show like one skateboarding event, and then they would go do a bike event or something. And I was always like, just show me more skateboarding.
Yeah, just stay on.
Just
one.
Give me the skaters. Yeah.
But was it at the X Games where Tony Hawk did the 900?
Yeah, I think it was the first time. Yeah.
His first ever 900. People flipped out.
Yeah.
A feat not attained by anyone else at that point.
Still not very frequently.
I feel like as that went on and people sort of lost interest or interest sort of cooled, you know, they started to add in things like I think this is the X Games. They added a loop.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To see if people could do it.
Yeah. Right?
And in general, I feel like that extreme sports kind of like hit a point where it was sort of. It's probably just because you know people are now used to it as part of culture.
Sure.
Had less, you know, it was less interesting or less exciting. Because it didn't feel like counterculture anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. The novelty of that wore off. Yeah. And
so they started like, I feel like things started to get injected into it that were less pure maybe, than just the original, like sort of skating and tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah. Which is the way of things.
I feel like we should maybe touch on Warped Tour.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good call. That was always a big component of it.
Yeah, they would always initially. Have...
Not as much anymore. I think it's kind of diminished.
Yeah,
partially probably due to what you just talked about. But
they would have a vert ramp a lot of times at Warped Tour. Now, did they have? Here's what I never understood about that. Was that sort of open to the people at Warped Tour? Like, if you went and brought your skateboard,
it was both. Okay. They would have demos, and they would also have competitions where you could come in and compete. Kind of like, I mean, not entirely unlike the band setup, you know, where, cause like whatever city Warped Tour goes to, they would always have
some local bands.
Yeah. And they would even do like karaoke occasionally. They did punk rock karaoke at a few of them that I went
to.
And I remember that. God, that was insane. That was a dream. Cause they would have like, the one guy from NoFX, you know, the drummer for Bad Religion. They would bring all these guys together and they're basically your backing band.
Oh my god.
And yeah, I know. So you go up there and you're like, "Yeah, I want to play this song."
No.
And of course
way.
They all know it, you know, that's because there's incredible. Only three chords.
Yeah.
And so they play it and you get to sing it. And yeah, I saw that a few times. It was pretty good.
I know they had skateboarding. I mean, they had those three sort of primary ones: skateboarding, rollerblading, and biking.
Biking. Yeah.
At the Warped Tour.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever did anything else beyond that. I feel like it has diminished a lot since then. And I know in some areas, like I've been to Warped Tours where they didn't even have the ramp, you know.
Yeah. Something that came much later are those little Razor scooters. And you know, when those came out, I mean, I was like, this is a joke. Those aren't no one does tricks on those. Anyone who's doing tricks, whatever. But I very recently saw a video of some like pro Razor scooter, and it blew my mind what this guy could do on this tiny little scooter.
How old is this guy?
I'm gonna say he was late teens, early 20s maybe, I think. And he was doing flips and grinds. I mean it still looked hilarious,
silly.
Because I was like, when is his weight gonna shatter this thing when he lands on it, you know? But he was, I mean, it was alarming because those Razor scooters just don't look like they could do anything. And when you do make them do stuff, it's you just feel like it's either gonna break or something's gonna go terribly wrong.
Yeah, it's gonna get a mind of its own.
But he does some pretty. I'll try to find it.
Huh?
And it's something else. So I don't know how widespread that is, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely got big for a little while.
And yeah, then, well, it was a fad for a while.
Yeah, I'm surprised now when I see people using him. I think, like, isn't that done? Aren't we done with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess in a way, maybe that's sort of full circle.
Yeah.
Going back, you know, I mean, scooter type things were around probably before any of the other ones.
Yeah, totally.
So maybe it makes sense.
Well, a lot of this stuff, you know, I think goes back a lot further than people realize. I mean, skateboarding, you had those longboards and stuff in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And then
60s even, I think, is when really started.
Those sort of banana boards, I think they called them.
Which looked really goofy.
I've ridden on one of those and they're, I don't know how people did it.
Just, yeah.
Like, no balance.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with rollerblading, obviously the precursor to that is skates.
Roller skates.
You know, roller skates, which, gosh, what, the 50s, 40s?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and surfing, people were surfing like back in the 10s, 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, bicycles, obviously.
Yeah.
Have been around for. So it's interesting how you sort of. I think the 80s feel like the time when all this stuff kind of had its genesis, at least in the way that we know it. But I think it's cool the way that they kind of all have something that goes further back.
Yeah, there's a historical precedent there.
Yeah. Except for Razor scooters, which...
which we've already decided don't count.
This guy's going to make them count. You'll see.
All right. This guy. I'll look forward to that.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I feel like we should at least mention a few movies.
Good call.
Do we have time?
Yeah, I think we can make it work.
There was one movie, a rollerblading movie that I loved. I loved it. I think it was in the 90s. I watch it all the time. It's called Airborne. Have you seen it?
I remember Airborne. Yeah, yeah. Wasn't that Sam from Clarissa Explains It All?
No, he looks like him, but it's not him. I don't think that kid was in anything else ever. Why would he need to be?
Right, true.
Sort of like hit his peak immediately. It does feature Seth Green.
Yes, yeah.
I think it is Jack Black's first film.
Wow.
Because he plays one of the kind of dopey minions. But Airborne, if you haven't seen it, is about a surfer from California who, I think he maybe gets in trouble or something. His parents kind of ship him off to Michigan, where his cousin lives. So he leaves California. It's got this opening like scene of him surfing and like the, you know, California sun, how great it is. And then he has to go live with his cousin for a while and he takes his surfboard with him, which, you know, immediately you're like, why is he taking that? There's no, what is he gonna surf, right?
He
stays with his cousin Wiley. That's Seth Green. Maybe Seth Green's first movie.
No, I think he'd done a few others before that.
You know, I think his name is Sean. Is the guy the surfer?
The main guy.
He's, you know, he's way out of place in Michigan. Like, he calls people bra, and he's like, dude, and whoa, and I'm from California. And everyone's like, you're an idiot, you know. And but Wiley, his cousin's like, you're really cool, and I want to be like you.
Yeah, sure.
And he's having trouble fitting in, he eventually, he finds out that they're... The sport there is, instead of surfing, it's rollerblading. And he can rollerblade, too. He's actually a good rollerblader. Prior to being in Michigan.
Right, right.
In California, he also
casually rollerblade. Yeah, it was a hobby. Yeah.
And so he kind of makes good with his fellow classmates. And when they realize his abilities, they recruit him for the big... downhill race against some other gang of kids, and like
it's a trope.
The race is in no way sanctioned by the state of Michigan. Like, they're just racing on the street with cars and stuff going by, and you know, the final scene. Oh, and I remember one thing they sort of touted was that Team Rollerblade was featured in the movie, I guess, as some of the
skaters. The pro rollerbladers. Yeah.
But the downhill race at the end of the movie is pretty gripping. And it has Jack Black in it. What's great is that Jack Black is one of the bullies sort of early on in the movie, and his name is Augie. And he eventually comes around, and he and Wiley in the downhill race are like useless. They're not good skaters, and they kind of like work together, and yeah, they're comic relief. But I can't remember the main villain of the movie is one of his classmates, Sean's classmates.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But who eventually they become friends because they kind of like
mutual bond, respect.
Yeah, in the race.
Yep. Yep.
Because there's a greater villain in that other gang of kids.
Of course. There's always. Yeah. Yeah. So that guy, he was Johnny Sean's Daniel. And then the other guy was like John Kreese or whatever that guy's name was.
I would actually say that
the head of the Cobra Kai.
That this other guy was more like the Johnny. Like the greater villain was more like the Johnny.
Oh, okay.
I think he was like the villain at the school didn't reach Johnny levels.
Oh, okay. He was more like the Brian kid. Brian?
Who's Brian?
I don't know. He was like the one who sort of had a heart, you know? Yeah. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He like kicks him in the shin and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Daniel. I'm sorry. I feel really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That downhill thing, God, was such a standard.
Yeah.
Like that it's incredible how they continue to work that. And I feel like it's such a wish fulfillment thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't really believe that that these downhill races are that ubiquitous, you know, like all over the place, but they seem to be in these movies.
Yeah.
There was one in Thrashin', which was a skateboarding movie with Josh Brolin.
Okay.
Right after Goonies.
Nice. He made it.
And it's like West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
But like in LA.
Nice.
In like LA beach culture. And so he's like this like crazy hypercolor wearing dude who's like staying with his friends in the valley.
Yeah.
And he meets this girl who's visiting her brother, who is the leader of this like leather and denim clad gang of skaters from like East LA or something.
Oh man.
And at one point they race in a downhill.
Yes.
The LA downhill, you know?
Nice. Is there a sort of dead man's curve?
Yeah. Oh,
because there was an airborne.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a curve where everyone sort of like died.
This is where you're going to wipe out. Yeah. If you make it to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're done.
I haven't seen this maybe since it came out, but there was a movie Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it Christian Slater?
Christian Slater. Yep.
That's skateboard.
And Tony Hawk is in it. A couple of other guys too, I think, were in it. Like real skaters, you know? Where his brother, he's the no good skater brother, and then there's the adopted younger brother who's like a genius.
This is Gleaming the Cube.
Gleaming the Cube, okay. Yeah. And the genius brother ends up getting killed.
Oh, and, spoiler!
Well, it's in like the first 10 minutes of the movie. Good. Yeah. And so then it's up to the brother that nobody believes in to like pull it together and solve the mystery.
Oh man. That's
working
excellent.
With like this used up cop who like doesn't want anything to do with them. Oh man, what a great movie.
Oh, this is coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's awesome. That's an excellent movie. A good one, along the same vein in that it's like terrible, awful, awesome. Prayer of the Roller Boys. Have you ever seen that?
Oh,
with Corey Haim?
Yeah, I have a vague memory of that.
It's like a near future LA where like the government like
is that the one where like
to Japan?
They put like the guy's hand under a light and his skin peels off? Or is that Rollerball?
I think you're thinking of Lost Boys.
No, I haven't seen Lost Boys.
No, I don't remember that.
There's a movie I would always get confused with, Prayer of the Roller Boys, and it must be this that I'm thinking of.
I don't know
of.
What that is.
This guy,
but I want to see it
is
now.
In the future, and he put his hand under this light, and his skin peeled off.
Peels off? I don't remember that.
It was disturbing.
Huh.
BMX Bandits.
Of course. Rad.
Rad, which I've never seen.
The U.S. version of BMX Bandits.
Right.
Rad. The Dirt Bike Kid. Had the Peter Billingsley from Christmas Story.
Really?
Yeah. And I think he's like trying to save like a chicken fast food restaurant or something at the end.
I know this doesn't count, but E.T.'s got the bike.
Sure. Place, yeah.
Right.
Bikes.
You got Back to Future with the skateboards.
Skateboard, yeah.
That's the thing. I think even movies, there are movies where they aren't, you know, movies about those extreme sports, but they have these iconic scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
That are really like
they become
made,
associated with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that and with those sports.
Yeah.
Man.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, we got to
play Tony Hawk. Yeah.
Well, skate this one into the archive.
Ooh.
Tony Hawk.